Certain city years ago was having trouble with a portion of road outside the city limits. There was a curb on the road and cars or vehicles would come along the road and go so fast they would flip and people would be killed. It was happening so often the town council met and actually had a meeting particularly to find out what they could do for it. So what they decided to do is they'd put signs along the road warning people to slow down. It said, dangerous, slow down. Nobody slowed down. People kept going around that curve and getting killed. So one of the council members had an interesting thought. They said, let's put a bunch or a flock of chickens on the side of the road and let them be free-range chickens and see what happens. So that's what they did. They put this bunch or flock of chickens on the side of the road and drivers come screaming, saw the chickens, slowed down, went around the curve slowly. And the death rate went way down. Isn't it interesting? These people were more concerned about the life of a chicken than they were their own life. And some of you are the same today. You're not at all concerned about your eternal salvation. You don't think about your death or where you'll spend eternity. You're more concerned about what you're going to have for dinner tonight than you are where you're going to spend eternity. I heard a true story also of a young guy. As a kid, he befriended a chicken when it was really little and fed it by hand. As the chicken grew, it became very close to this young boy. In fact, each day he would go out after school, he'd take some wheat in his hand, hold it like that, and this chicken would leave. The other chickens jump up on a fence and he'd feed it by hand. Happened every day. One day, Christmas Day, the father, not knowing what his son had been doing with the chicken, came out to grab a chicken and kill it for dinner. You know what? As he stepped up to the chicken coop, he found that he had a volunteer. One chicken left the other chickens, jumped up on the, and he just grabbed it, chopped its head off, and thought, man, that was great. No problem at all. That's what some of you are like when it comes to the issue of death. What you're doing by your inaction, your thoughtlessness when it comes to your eternal salvation, you're just laying your head down, so to speak, and letting the chopper come upon you. You know, if you're being pushed towards a 1,000-foot cliff, inch by inch, wouldn't you stop for a minute and say to the person pushing you, why are you pushing me? Is there anything I can do to stop you pushing me? Wouldn't you do that? Of course you would. And yet, day by day, you're getting closer and closer to that chopper coming down to that cliff of eternity. And you're not at all concerned. Well, the day will come when death will arrest you, when you'll stand before a law you've violated and a judge will condemn you. And what I want you to do is listen carefully today. Just open your heart. Be patient with me as I read to you that law in the hope that you'll suddenly become concerned and see that you better do what God says if you want to preserve that life. The Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? So please listen carefully. The Bible tells us that you and I have violated a law. It's an eternal law. It's a law you're very familiar with. It's called the moral law or the Ten Commandments. It's written on your heart via your conscience. God has given light to every man. There is something in you that says, you shall not steal. You shall not kill. You shall not lie. You shall not commit adultery. Something in you says, God should have some preeminence in your life. It's written on your heart. And I know that to be true because before I was a Christian, I was a surfer. And I was following this car one day, and on the back of the car it had a sticker. And the sticker just said two words, God first. And you know what? I couldn't wait to get past that car. I thought, I don't want that stuff. It made me feel guilty because I knew in my heart that God should be first in my life. Why? Because God had inscribed his law upon my heart by the conscience. Okay, is God first in your life? Do you love the God that gave you life, that gave you breath, that gave you being? Do you love the God that gave you eyes to see with, ears to hear with, ears that can hear music, the creation of God? Do you love that God? Do you love the God that gave you taste buds to enjoy the food he gave you? Because everything you've got in life came by the hand of God, by the goodness of God. And the Bible says none of us have kept the first of the Ten Commandments. Not one of us. The scriptures say there's none that seek after God. I'm as guilty as you. The scriptures say we're all like sheep that have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. What about some of those other commandments? You shall not bear false witness. Have you ever lied? Have you ever told a lie? Then you're guilty of lying. You are a liar by the definition of the word. If you've lied, you're a liar. And the Bible warns All liars will live apart in the lake of fire. You shall not steal. Have you ever stolen something, irrespective of its value? Then you're a thief. And the Bible says thieves will not inherit the kingdom of God. You shall not commit adultery. And maybe you haven't committed adultery, but listen to what Jesus said. Whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Have you ever done that? Ever look with lust? Of course you have. You're an average human being. You're normal. The Bible says we drink in iniquity like water. We love the darkness. We hate the light. We love to sin. That's what the Bible says. We're sin-loving creatures. Remember, I saw a card many, many years ago, some sort of humorous card. It said, everything I love is either illegal, immoral, or fattening. And isn't it true? We love that which is immoral. If you don't believe it, look at television, look at the movies, go into your video store, look at the type of magazines we have. We love uncleanness. And the Bible says, God will bring every work to judgment, including every secret thing, whether it's good or evil. You know, there are certain communities in our society that say, you've got no right to judge what goes on in my bedroom, in the privacy of my own home. There's no such thing as the privacy of your own home. There's no such thing as the privacy of your own mind. Because God sees your thought life. He sees what you think about. He sees what you do in darkness. Nothing is hid from the eyes of Him with whom we have to do and give an account. And you and I will stand before this God whose law we've violated. Give an account of every idle word we've spoken. Folks, if you've got a tender conscience today, you will know that you've sinned against God. And you know you desperately need His mercy. And the Bible tells us that God is rich in mercy. He sent His Son, born of a virgin, Jesus Christ, a perfect, sinless man, God in human form, to suffer and die for the sin of the world. And if you've never understood it before, 2,000 years ago, when Jesus Christ was on the cross, what He was doing was taking the punishment for the crimes that you and I had committed against God. He was paying the fine in His life's blood so you and I could leave the courtroom. Jesus told a story. It's called the Parable of the Prodigal Son. It's about a young man who went to his father and says, Father, give me my inheritance. Give me the money owing to me. So his father gave it to him. And the Bible says he went to a far country away from his dad. And he took that money and he spent it on riotous living and on prostitutes. He enjoyed the pleasures of sin, but it was but for a season, only for a time, because the scriptures say a famine came upon that land. His money ran out, his friends left him, the only job he could get was feeding pigs. And as he sat in that pigsty, the Bible says he began to see that he was desiring to eat the pig food. That filth that sat before him, he wanted to pick it up with all its filth and begin eating it. And the scriptures say, he came to his senses and said, even my father's servants have it better than I have. He said, oh, go back to my father and say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. Take me on as your hired servant. So he got out by the pigsty. He came to his senses. He went back to his father. And the Bible says, while he was yet afar off, his father was looking for him. His father ran to him, fell upon him and kissed him, put a robe around him, a ring on his finger, and put shoes on his feet. And he said, my son was once dead, he's made alive, and they had a feast. And that's a picture of you and I. Our appetites are unclean. We desire that which is unclean. Folks, come to your senses and realize that the day will come that you will die. As I said, that law we went through will try you. Death will arrest you, the law will try you, and the judge will condemn you if you do not do what the Bible says and turn from your sins. Now remember that parable. The father was looking for his son. That's what God is waiting for you to turn to do, to come towards him. He will meet you halfway. He'll put a robe of righteousness upon you. He'll cleanse you of sin. He'll give you an inheritance. He will clothe you. The Bible says God himself will rejoice that you were once dead and you'll be made alive. That's what happens when someone becomes a Christian. They pass from death into life. So think of that dumb chicken jumping up on that fence, waiting for the chopper to come down. Don't be like that. Come to your senses. Realize unless you do what God says, death will seize upon you. Every day in the United States, 1,500 people die of cancer. Every year, just under 1 million die of heart disease. Every year, 42,000 Americans are killed in car accidents. 42,000 every year. Next car you get into may be your coffin. And every single day, 150,000 people pass from time into eternity. Death seizes upon them. So folks, do what the Bible says. Repent, turn from your sins, and trust in Him who suffered and died on the cross for you, for Him who rose again on the third day to defeat death. And the moment you do that, the moment you with an honest heart come before God and say, God, forgive me, I'm a sinner. My heart's desires have been unclean. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew in me a right spirit. God will do it. And you'll pass from death into life. If you've got a Bible, folks, that's God's word to you. Some people say, the Bible's full of mistakes. Yes, it is. The first mistake was when man rejected God. Don't make that same mistake. Others say men wrote the Bible. Of course men wrote the Bible. It didn't evolve. But when you write a letter, do you write the letter or does your pen? Well, you write the letter. The pen is the instrument you use. And God used men as instruments to pen His letter to humanity. And all that whole Bible is a promise from God that He would destroy death. That's the Old Testament. New Testament tells us how He did it. Through the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Folks, for that Bible to make sense, you must be born of the Spirit. You must have God open your understanding. You know, most of you consider yourself reasonably intelligent people. Well, can you speak Chinese? It's a complicated language. Can you read or speak Chinese? I could bring a 4-year-old Chinese child here and shame you because the Chinese kid could read and speak fluent Chinese. Why? Because he's born into the family. Folks, when you're born into God's family, the Bible will come alive. You'll speak the language of God. You'll understand His scriptures. So I want to thank you for listening to me today. I'm going to come along the line in a moment and offer you a free CD called What Hollywood Believes. It's completely free. Please feel free to take it. Thank you for listening.